98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
And does it smell good?
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. All right, it is noon on a Thursday. We are live from the Auction Community Studios, and it is time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch with today's top stories. Cody Fincher. Cody, what's up?
What's up, man?
Sorry, Bear. What's
up? Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Am I the Coyotes coach now?
How confusing was that for you yesterday when we were calling
him Bear?
I thought
Wolf was talking to me. And I'm like, what? Talking to the Coyotes head coach.
Totally
Wolf.
Forgot about you being behind the glass there, honestly. That was weird now that you say it in retrospect.
All right, let's start with the Suns. They beat the Jazz last night, 105-97. They won their eighth straight game. Booker had 43 points and 12 boards. Chris Paul added 21 points, and they're off to their best start in franchise history. What are you guys seeing from this team right now?
Everything.
Everything we wanted more.
Yes, I was talking to somebody out in the newsroom before the show this morning, and he was saying, you know, this might be... This team might be the best Suns team of all time, and I don't remember every single Suns team, obviously, but this is the most fun team I can remember in any sport for a while, Wolf. Like, they are just a fun team on and off the court.
Yes, what am I seeing from the Suns? I'm seeing greatness. There's no other way to say it right now, especially as a former professional athlete, just looking at how these guys go about their business, the way that they compete. I've said it all year long, watching this team develop, watching this team come together, watching this team overcome adversity, watching this team overcome COVID, overcome injury situation. It's just stunning to me to see how consistently they're able to bring their talent to bear, and that speaks to a toughness that is gold in your hand. I'm seeing greatness from the Phoenix Suns.
Well, the NBA trade deadline isn't too far away, and Suns GM James Jones is on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, and they asked him how aggressive he'll be at the trade deadline. Here's what he said.
I mean, I always love that question. People always like, how aggressive will you be at the trade deadline, and how aggressive will you? And I'm always the same. I like my team. I like what we have. If opportunities come to improve my team, I'll look at them. But every team's trying to do the same thing at the trade deadline. So unless you're catching someone who absolutely does not want to compete, you're really talking about lateral moves. And, you know, I trust our continuity and our flow.
What do you guys think of James Jones' thought process there?
He should be pretty comfortable with this team. They're 38-9, and he essentially built them.
Yeah, they're not too bad, right?
No, what he's doing is working. I wouldn't change it too much. I'm sure it's tough. It would be tough for a lot of people. I don't know if it'll be tough for him to potentially sit there and let the trade deadline just pass without doing anything when your window to win a title, we don't know how long it is, but it's definitely open right now. But I don't want to tinker with this team very much unless it's like a minor piece that he really likes. And he's been good at finding guys that fit that he can just kind of, you know, add for cash or something.
You know what I loved about that cut you just played right there? And I'm not trying to avoid your question at all. You know how I feel about James Jones, but my team. Did you hear him say that? I mean, there was some ownership right there that I heard from James Jones.
A lot of that, too, is like, they say our team. I like our team here. I like what we're doing.
My team.
You know, honestly, the team I built.
Maybe this is a situation right here where Champ, of course, is growing. Growing not only as a man, but growing, of course, as a general manager and feeling totally invested like he's maybe never been invested before. Interesting.
All right, the NBA All-Star starters will be announced later today.
Yay.
That brings us...
Let me see if I can guess. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson.
Carmelo Anthony is going to be starting.
Definitely.
George Mikan.
That brings us to our Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Who is more deserving of starting in the All-Star game? Devin Booker or Chris Paul?
Oh, this is brutal. I knew you guys were going to ask this question. This is rough.
You must answer
it. Do this.
First of all, before I answer the question, this how difficult this is.
Why does it have to be one or the other?
That's the thing. They should both be there.
That's how poll questions work.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. They didn't give you, like, a both. Wolf, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, it's just crazy right now. You're talking about the NBA's best backcourt right now. In the basketball universe, ladies and gentlemen, the best backcourt for my money right now, Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
Yeah, it's tough
to
argue
that. They both should be in to the All-Star game, but of course, this is nothing new to us right now. We knew they weren't going to get voted in.
I've got my answer, by the way.
What?
I'm going to go with Booker. Chris Paul's been to a ton. Chris Paul might be the league MVP. If you're telling me I can... Look, hold on.
Wait a minute. You can build an argument that Chris Paul is the MVP.
I know. I'm not going to fall into the trap of this poll question where I'm arguing against one or the other because they absolutely should both be there and they maybe should both be starting.
You're such a producer,
so,
Bear.
I'm just going to say Devin Booker has not been to as many All-Star games as he should. So if you're making me vote, I will vote for Booker.
Goodness.
But they absolutely should both be there. And this team is not 38-9 without Chris Paul.
All right. Well, the results are really close.
Hold on. Wolf didn't have to answer.
No, he's got to answer. I did answer right there.
Did you?
Yeah. I dug my heels in and I said, honestly, you got to be kidding me. No. Chris Paul should be an MVP.
Yes, he should.
Should be an MVP candidate.
The results are Devin Booker, 52%. Chris Paul, 48%.
And yeah. I'll tell you that Devin Booker is the best player, okay? How about that? You deal with that. Chris Paul should be an MVP candidate. Should be right there in the conversation. And Devin Booker, he's their best player.
All right, there's finally been some movement with the NFL coaching vacancies. The Broncos are reportedly hiring Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett to be their new head coach, and the Bears are reportedly hiring Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus as their new head coach. But let's stick with the Broncos' decision to hire Nathaniel Hackett. Does this cement the Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams team up in Denver? Is it actually going to happen? Is it the whole reason Nathaniel Hackett was hired in Denver?
Okay, so I won't say it's the whole reason he was hired, because if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, then you've hired a coach that you don't believe in. That's not great. So I won't say it's the whole reason, and I won't say Devontae Adams is going, but this definitely pushes me to believe that Denver is the most likely spot for Aaron Rodgers next year, even over Green Bay.
First of all, Basinonians, let's all ponder the fact that Hackett might be the best football name ever on the back of a jersey.
Whitney Merciless. Hackett. Merciless is pretty good.
Merciless, yeah, I guess, but it's a little
Hackett's
mercy
right
laden.
Merciless, though.
Well, okay, but still, the mention of mercy in there.
It's not Whitney Merciful.
Hackett. What? Just Hackett.
Oh, it's right there, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Sounds like he should work for Dan Campbell.
He should.
We're going to hack your kneecaps right off.
Okay, having said that, this has changed my mind on Aaron Rodgers. Yesterday, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and the likelihood of him staying in Green Bay. And I thought that he would. Right now, with Nathaniel Hackett getting the job, the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers for the last 3 years, somebody that Aaron Rodgers is very fond of, and the fact that last year you had Mark Schlereth tweeting out the fact that it's a done deal for Aaron Rodgers to be the Denver Broncos quarterback, I'm putting the two together right now, and there's just so much smoke that at some point in time, we're going to see the fire.
I feel like Dean Wedgebuster would be a pretty good name for a football coach, too. I feel like you'd get on board with Mr.
Wedgebuster.
Yeah.
It's just kind of long.
It's a little bit long. But like,
you want
probably hyphenated,
syllables.
Though. What
you
if
want
it's hyphenated?
To okay. Hack it.
It's good. There's nothing wrong
just,
with it.
You know, hack it off. Hack it.
Did you find the odds?
Yeah, they're not updated.
They're not?
They're not.
Lame
Sorry.
People.
I'll keep looking.
All right. The Cardinals have a few high-profile, soon-to-be free agents, and Pro Football Focus put out their potential dollar figures for those players. They have guys like Chandler Jones projected to make $16.8 million next year, Christian Kirk $11.7 million, Zach Ertz $11 million. James Conner on this list was kind of surprising to me, $6.4 million.
Sold!
So I guess I know Wolf's answer. Which of their potential free agents do the Cardinals need to bring back?
Connor's at the top of the list.
I mean, if you're going to get him at that price,
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
I'll take the over on that. He's going for more than $6.4 million. Somebody will pay him.
There are two things that you can possibly be based on needs when you're a football player, and that is a player that brings a tangible ability to the field and a player that has an intangible quality to him. James Connor is both. Tangibly, he will truck you on a football field. Run right over you. Pick the third rail of running the ball, and that's straight down your person. That's number one. And not only that, he'll walk around and challenge everybody else on the sideline as well. Isn't that right, Paul Calvisi? He'll walk around and challenge guys on the sideline. Who's with me? Who's with me? You know what? Give me James Conner. He epitomizes everything the Arizona Cardinals need to be going forward, in my opinion.
I would say Connor and I would say Colt McCoy are the top two priorities. Not like I wouldn't like some of the other ones back, but I think those are the only two that like you have to bring back. I mean, I'd like Chandler Jones too, but not if he's going to cost
love
too much.
Chan.
All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Thank you, Cody. The golf tournament hailed as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off February 7th, runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now for your chance to win tickets. Plus, one lucky winner is going to win greenskeeper passes. Coming up, the Suns won their eighth in a row last night, and they're off to their best start in franchise history. How are they doing it? It's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Cheap Shot. Slap Shot. Wolf and Luke.
Another game and another win for the Phoenix Suns last night. It was a fun one to watch, too. A little back and forth in the second half. That second quarter wasn't fun to watch, but the Suns jumped all over Utah early, and they defeat the Jazz 105-97, Wolf. So 38-9. I did this math. It's big math. I did it on my phone.
Yeah.
On pace for 66 wins this season.
Wow, okay. 66 wins.
Could I interest you in a 66-16 record for the Phoenix Suns? I'd
no.
take that.
Honestly, that's regular season. We've already been there.
True.
It's time to move on.
Well, I can't. They're still playing these regular
season postseason. I get it. That'd be great. There's no doubt about that. But they scored 11 points in that second quarter. Can you believe?
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Let me stop focusing on the game right now. You're going big picture, and I like that. I love this team, like so many people that are out there right now, so many Suns fans, even people that aren't Suns fans. Maybe you're a fan of a different sport. Maybe you're a fan of a different team in the association. But you look at the Phoenix Suns, you have to just smile, whether you're a fan of theirs or not. You have to appreciate what it is that you're seeing. If you are an athlete, an ex-athlete, I don't care if it was Pop Warner. I don't care if it was Little League. I don't care if it was just high school. I don't care if you went to college, whatever it may be. If you're an athlete, you have to appreciate what you're seeing from the Phoenix Suns. You have to. The greatness. And to be able to bring that consistency night in and night out. Man, do I respect that so much. Because I know it's difficult to do.
Yeah.
It's not what human beings are known for.
This is Chris Paul after the game last night, sort of touching on what you just said.
Yeah, I say this all the time, man. We got such a competitive group. You know what I mean? Like everybody on our team, we so competitive. And coach, like our coach is competitive. You know, and I think when you got that, we never step into a game like, man, we only got nine guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, we show up to play, we going to play. And I think that's what Coach put up on the board before the game. Big letters that just said hoop, you know, and that's what we do. Regardless of any situation, we just go out and hoop.
You can tell. Like, you know, okay, anybody driving around, too, you may have a job that you love. But some days just because you got other stuff going on, you have to go to that job. It feels like a job that one day, even if you love the job, right? This basketball team, they look like if they didn't have a game last night, they would have been playing basketball somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, not that it's a hassle to play the 47th game of the season, but you sort of alluded to it at the beginning of the segment, actually. It's time for the playoffs. Like, this team is playing for the playoffs. If they win 66 games as opposed to 64, that's cool and all, and it'll be the all-time franchise record if they can win 66. But you're playing for the playoffs, and yet it doesn't look like a team that's like, all right, let's go.
No, exactly. That is the thing that is just mind-numbing to me. It's human nature that we're talking about here, Basinonians. Are you kidding me? They're able to focus game in and game out in the regular season. This after going through the postseason last year, getting into the NBA Finals, winning the first two games, and then falling apart. We were talking about this when the season started. I think you brought it up. How do you not just have a, man, just let us get through the regular season.
That was my
get
biggest
into the
concern.
Postseason, and then we'll turn it on then. How do you not just do that? Well, you know what? You're the Phoenix Suns. You got guys inside that locker room like Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton. And you got guys inside this locker room right now who are pros. Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is, did you see him playing defense last night? What a joy.
It's one of those things where you have to like appreciate what you're seeing.
What a joy to watch Mikal Bridges, man. The struggle is real and defense is real, and watching Mikal play defense is happy time.
You know what
for We're the Wu-Fang Clan.
What I think I like the most about Mikal Bridges is when they made that trade on draft night, your best case scenario is like, this is going to be a guy that comes in and he just shuts down the other team's best players, and he'll give you a little bit of offense, he'll give you a little bit of different stuff every night, but defensively he's just going to be a lockdown guy. That was what you were hoping for on draft night, Wolf.
Yes.
And it's exactly what he is. How often do you draft a guy or get a guy on draft night and they are not exactly what you were hoping? He is exactly as advertised.
The path of least resistance is something that has haunted humankind for a long, long time, my brothers. Okay? And yet this team, they don't know that path. They don't even know that exists. It is so stunning to watch them go out and continue to play at this high level. And Mikal Bridges, I mean, the play that he made to end the third quarter, did you happen to see that? Do you remember the play that he actually, on the defensive end, Conley was dribbling in the remaining 10 seconds. He was trying to actually get the ball inside to Rudy Gay, and Mikal wouldn't let him. And sloughed off on the entry pass and tipped it where Rudy Gay had to go retrieve it. And by the time he went and retrieved the ball and turned around, the clock expired. It was one simple little play in a game that had many of them. And yet that is who this team is. Fight you tooth and nail right down to the last 10 seconds of the third quarter. Man, take that little seed that they are and plant that firmly in the basin and then watch it grow like it has. This team is one of the finest teams I've ever seen, and I don't care what sport we're talking about. Now, listen, does that mean they're going to win the whole thing? No, it does not.
I can tell you, it means it's going to sting if they don't. Like, to me, it's going to sting a lot if this team doesn't win because they are just a fun team.
Yes, and I'm with you on that one, but I have to tell you, you got to caution. You have to be careful on this, and the reason being is because I know what it's like to be a human being trying to compete at the highest level our species can generate. The guy across from you is really, really good, too.
I'm not saying they're
really
going
good
to win.
Too. Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying it's going to sting if they don't.
Sometimes you try your best and you don't play your best. Sometimes that happens. And if it's happening to you at the wrong time of the year, Phoenix Suns aren't going to win the championship.
I don't know, man. I look around and there are good teams. There are some surprise teams. I think Chicago's surprising a lot of people just because they had so many moving parts this offseason and almost all of their pickups really seem to be working. But in terms of teams that could beat the Phoenix Suns in a 7-game series, if they're playing anywhere near their best, it really just feels like
it's
Golden State.
And that's the thing I love about it, too, the 7-game series.
Yeah.
That to me, it's so difficult.
The best teams usually
win
in basketball.
Usually, yeah. The cream also rises, does it not?
The other thing, you're talking about how they make it such a grind for the opposition every night. Well, part of that is because of what Devin Booker said after the game last night.
I'm just having a lot of fun, man. I know I keep saying that after every game, but, you know, I don't take these moments for granted. You know, coming into a tough Utah building and it, you know, being rowdy in here and being short man and still coming up with the win, and you know, that's what it's about. So, you know, you're going to see a smile on a lot of our face. We were just talking about, you know, how we even come out on the court before the game. Like, we all, you know, we fool with each other. And, you know, when it's time to lock in, we lock in.
The five pillars of Monty Williams and the culture of the Phoenix Suns. Number five, gratitude. You listen to Devin Booker, I'm not going to take it for granted.
His perspective, awesome. He sounds like a guy, because we were just talking to Lorenzo Alexander last hour about, you know, when you know you're retiring and you have that one final year, if you've made that decision, like, I'm going to let this soak in, Devin Booker's not retiring for a long time. But he sounds like a guy with the perspective of having been in the league for 15 years. He's like, oh, you know, this is maybe my best chance. Like, and I'm telling you, and I don't have to tell you, because if you're a Suns fan, you know. But this is something we've talked about a couple times this week. It's because of how his career started. I know some of it is just how the dude is wired. And some of it is having Monty Williams driving those five pillars home. And like you said, gratitude. But some of it's got to be going out there for the first 4 years of his career and just putting up a ton of points and winning 21 games. And now they almost had a 21-game winning streak this season. So, yeah, it makes sense he's going to appreciate it.
So cool to see.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, how did that Cardinals rookie class perform in their first season? We're going to evaluate that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
So one of the areas of the Cardinals that everybody looked at the start of the season, Wolf, was the rookie class, because the Cardinals were going to be leaning more heavily on their rookie class than some teams. Certainly most contenders. You figured going into the season. What are you laughing
at? Just so wordless, is it not? Just wordless, ladies and gentlemen. Proceed, Luke.
We're going to just put together a playlist for you of all your favorite songs without the words.
I heard the news, baby. Go ahead.
Do you go to karaoke bars and just be like, why don't you have the words?
No, I do not, as a matter of fact.
That doesn't really surprise
me. Yeah, right. Me going out. Are you kidding me right now? You see me ever walking into a club? I just horrified.
Oh, that would be, we should film that for the station.
No, sir, we don't have any Pantera.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. Proceed. We digress.
So the rookie class that, you know, if you're a team that took a quarterback with the first overall pick like Jacksonville, well, yeah, okay, their rookie class was expected to be very impactful on their team. If you're a team that had playoff aspirations at the start of this past season, you don't always go in knowing, hey, we're going to lean on a couple rookies or this guy or that. You're hoping a couple break through, especially your first rounder. But the Cardinals started the season. It was pretty clear that they at the time had named Zaven Collins the starter, and it was very clear they were going to need production from Marco Wilson, and Rondale Moore was going to get a shot. And all three of those guys, I mean, they did play. Zaven Collins, I know, didn't play as much as a lot of Cardinals fans would have anticipated in his first year, but all three of those guys did make an impact, especially Marco Wilson.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Marco Wilson was, without a doubt, the surprise of the draft class. You're talking about a corner. Listen, I know that a cornerback, a young guy coming into the league, can actually make an impact. And one of the big reasons why is because you're not asking him to do a lot of mental gymnastics out of the field, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Playing corner for the most part. Now, again, I don't want to oversimplify it. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, you can go out there and still get through. You can't. You got to be able to use your brain, ladies and gentlemen, as a corner. But for the most part, hey, you got that guy. That's your guy right there. Okay, so Marco Wilson, though, I was not ready for how well he played. And I would say through the first 10, 12 weeks of the season, how well he played. It was stunning.
No, I wasn't either.
I was not prepared for a fourth-round pick to come in and play that well. And then, of course, he went through a speed bump, if you will, and then I thought he finished strong once again. Marco Wilson was surprised, and that I'm going to give him an A. You get a guy,
Marco Wilson, definitely.
You get a guy in the fourth round that had the kind of season that Marco Wilson had. Yeah, you know what? I'm giving him an A.
The ESPN and Pro Football Focus went through and they graded, of course, Pro Football Focus. I wonder if those guys just walk around grading everything in their lives.
Seriously.
So, no, I'm not giving you like a number grade for the class, but they went through, ESPN ranked them all, and they were like, okay, they weighed like where a guy was picked, like Marco Wilson.
I'm waiting for Pro Football Focus to grade the guys that are making grades. Can't wait.
Start
for that
grading
one.
Themselves.
Great.
We should start Pro Football Focus where we just grade Pro Football Focus. This is a billion-dollar idea.
I love that. That is, boy, that's big time right there, Luke. Well done.
If that domain name
okay,
is purchased.
Okay, so I interrupted you. Where are you going?
They have the Cardinals at number 13. And that weighs in, like, okay, how much of an impact did this guy have based on where he was picked? So Zaven Collins, and they're not giving number grades here necessarily, but they're going wins over replacement and some other things. But Marco Wilson, I think, is the guy that drives that group up, because Rondale Moore, I think we all have good expectations for him going forward, but the second half of the season he was hurt, and when he played, he just wasn't the same guy.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. Let me start with the first pick overall, of course, which was Zaven Collins. You know this, Luke. I'm not just making this up now. You know this because we had this discussion many, many times leading into training camp. My expectation for Zaven Collins going out and actually being a starter his rookie year was extremely low.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Even
yes,
though
I
we were, even though we were being told that Zaven Collins was the starter, you remember how skeptical I was of that. And again, ladies and gentlemen, it's only because I understand what it's like to be inside the box. I was on the other side of being a Mike linebacker. I was the fullback. And you have to know, I say this all the time, and I know everyone goes, yeah, Wolfie, you just say that because you actually played fullback. But a fullback, you've got your quarterback, number one, you got center, number two, and then I would say number three is your fullback. You have to have a certain amount of acumen in the game of football to actually play the position. And the reason why I say it is because of the responsibility, not only in rundown situation when you're trying to run the ball, but also when you're trying to throw the ball. And how many times your assignment changes as a fullback based on the front you're actually seeing. It will change who you're supposed to block. It will change your responsibility. You had to know it all. You had to know blitzes from the opposing defense. You had to know different fronts, different coverages. You had to know it all as well. The passing attack and the rushing attack. You had to know it. You were right in the middle of it. It's one of the reasons why fullback has almost become antiquated to some degree, because most of the time, a fullback will take you to the ball.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
It's so true. He won't have the ball a lot of time, unless you're Kyle Juszczyk, but he will take you to the ball. And it's a difficult position to play because you're inside the box. The same thing can be said. You flip it over inside linebackers, Mike backers, weak side inside linebackers. Man, it is a difficult position to play, especially coming from college where you're playing checkers. And now all of a sudden in the NFL, you're playing chess and it becomes much more complex. Man, listen, if you're not confident in what you're going to do, if you're not confident in what you need to do and what your assignment is, are you really going to do it based on earnings with the conviction you need to? I don't think so. You'll be guessing. And that's what makes it so problematic. Zaven Collins, I'm giving him a pass, just as I gave Isaiah Simmons a pass his rookie year. I expect so much more out of Zaven Collins this year. And guess what? If he's not your starter this year, there's a problem.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask you, is at what point would you be worried about Zaven Collins? Because I think a lot of Cardinals fans, in a weird way, it really helped when Isaiah Simmons was thriving this season. Because you could easily point, and I know they're not the exact same positions, but you could point to Isaiah Simmons and say, okay, Zaven's not playing, but Isaiah didn't play last year, so Zaven next year will do what Isaiah Simmons has done.
Yes.
And then at the end of the year, Isaiah Simmons got a little shaky, and Zaven Collins still wasn't playing, and you're like, okay, this is two years in a row.
I hear you say that right now, and that is the one thing I'm going to do, honestly. I need to find out what happened with Isaiah. That last third of the season, he just didn't look like the same guy. So Isaiah Simmons, bounce back year for him. I'm not worried about Isaiah Simmons because I have seen this guy. He's so incredibly talented. He's a guy that is his harshest critic. And not only that, he's not afraid. That's why I think this all will come together and everything will be fine. He's got everything you could possibly need or want, including the desire to stick it on somebody's face. He will do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about him, but I do want to know what happened.
Coming up next, we'll update you on the NFL coaching carousel and what does one hire potentially mean for Aaron Rodgers. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wedge Buster, Wedge Salad. Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, stop laughing back there. I've never once had a wedge salad. I didn't know what a wedge salad was.
I was going to say, what is a wedge salad?
I only know because Wolf told me like a month ago and was flabbergasted that I'd never had a wedge salad.
It really is the only kind of salad I truly enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. Wedge, it's so chunky.
It has a ton of bacon on it. That's why you like it.
Well, of course. Right?
I like the salads that are only meat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You just throw the lettuce away.
You're talking about an antipasta? Is
That's
that what you're saying?
That's just decoration.
It's a nice Italian salad right there.
Nah.
I like a chicken salad because it's not got any lettuce. It's just chicken.
You know what's cool about the wedge salad, Basinonians? You could actually eat it with your hands if you wanted to. You could just pick that thing up, the wedge, and just kind of take a bite out of it.
That just seems so weird.
You just like it because
it says wedge.
Yeah.
No.
You like to wedge bust.
Just you could pick it up in your bare hand and take a bite out of it. Eat it like it's an apple.
Just bust a wedge salad. That's what I'm hearing.
All of a sudden you got some ranch dressing down your chin.
A salad, you should never be able to eat a salad in an intimidating way. Like, that should never be like, you ever see The Godfather? See, there's a movie I've seen.
Yes, of course.
You never go to, like, The Godfather and it's like eating a salad.
Have I ever seen The Godfather?
I don't know.
Who has not seen
Somebody who works here who watches a lot of movies has not seen
it.
I'm not going to say his name. He's probably asleep right now because he works so early in the morning, but he hasn't seen it.
Okay, all right. Vin.
Well, not Bic. Okay. Bickley's seen The Godfather, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course.
I don't believe Vince Morata has seen The Godfather.
Boy, how about that? What are you doing, Vince? What are you doing?
If I'm wrong, and I know I'm not, then I apologize. Okay. But
you said you weren't going to say his name, and then you're just like, Vince hasn't seen it.
But I didn't say his middle name.
Yeah. It was Vinny.
Yeah.
Of course.
I didn't say his full name and where he was born. I just said his first and last names. All right, Wolf. So we have the we're down to seven, finally. Seven NFL teams missing coaches. So just like not even a quarter of the league. So we're making some progress because Denver has hired their guy and Chicago has hired their guy at this point, Matt Eberflus and Nathaniel Hackett. Sounds like Hackett might be a link to get Aaron Rodgers. That was speculated before they even hired him. So what we're going to do here with the seven jobs that are left, figure we just go through here and we just start eliminating ones. Like, let's just approach this as if we were a coaching team and we were about to get hired to coach one of these NFL vacancies. Okay?
Okay, yes.
So we're going to take the seven jobs that remain, and you and I are going to go back and forth eliminating the ones we don't want until we get down to the one that's left. Because for the longest time, we were both saying Denver was our top job, and they have hired Nathaniel Hackett, so that's off the table. So the jobs that are out there are Jacksonville, Vegas, Houston, Miami, Minnesota, New Orleans, and the New York Giants.
So you want to work from the bottom up. Is that what you want to do right now? Let's eliminate somebody.
Because there's some good ones out there.
Okay. There are some good ones out there, but let's eliminate the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
Shall
right.
we?
Okay.
Let's just do that, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
$74 million over the cap.
That's a pretty good reason. And they don't have their quarterback. How can you be that far over the cap
you
and
don't
not
have a quarterback and you are $74 million over the cap right now? What are you doing down there? No wonder why Sean Payton is walking away. Seriously.
Yeah.
No, they're not firing him, ladies and gentlemen. They're letting him walk away. Sean Payton. And I think Sean Payton is going to coach again. And yet the New Orleans Saints are letting him walk away. Why is that? Maybe it's because they're $74 million over the cap.
Yeah.
And you don't have a quarterback.
I was going to say, hey, maybe let's not eliminate an NFC team so early because the NFC landscape might get a little bit early or easier early next year if they lose. But the Saints don't have a quarterback or any money.
Think about this right here. They're $34 million over the cap more than any other team in the NFL.
What are they doing over there?
I mean, just... Okay, that job, let's put a line right through that one right there, because that's going to be a full-on rebuild down there in New Orleans.
Okay, so no Saints. Saints are gone. Okay,
Saints are gone.
Okay, I got a nominee.
Where's your offering?
I'm gonna eliminate. So the teams, just again, to recap, the teams out there, Jaguars, Raiders, Vikings, Saints, Texans, Giants, Dolphins. Now, we've eliminated the Saints as a job we want. So I'm going to eliminate, actually, the Houston Texans, and this is one of those situations where I don't really feel like I should have to explain myself other than they're the Houston Texans.
Okay.
So do you want me to go any deeper on that? I mean, they're not $74 million over the cap, at least. They don't have a quarterback, I don't think. I mean, they kind of do that they might try to trade, but he can't play. And they don't have much of anything. So I'm going to eliminate Houston.
Yeah, they're not in a great cap position either. And Deshaun Watson and what is going to happen there, I don't know. That and the fact that I already feel that Brian Flores has got that job.
Now, I will
That's just me.
In working in their favor is the division that they're in. That's not, you know, Tennessee looked good this year. The Colts didn't even make the playoffs. And then Jacksonville. So, I mean, that is one of the easier divisions to turn it around in. But I don't want to be the one turning it around for Houston.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to offer up the Minnesota Vikings, ladies and gentlemen. No, I say no on the Minnesota Vikings. I would not want that job right there. They also are at the very bottom, for the most part, in the National Football League in terms of salary cap and room they have on their roster. And by the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. Isn't that right, Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is part of the problem, not the solution.
You just kind of look at it, and you know what? Kirk Cousins goes out there, and it's truly amazing. He posts some numbers. He will put up numbers. See, and he's done this where you look at his stats, and you go, man, listen, I am a Kirk Cousins fan. I am. I really think he was underappreciated in Washington, no doubt about that. And I was all for going out and signing him. The Minnesota Vikings made him their franchise quarterback. But you know what? When you go inside some of the numbers, man, it's not so good.
You know, they've got Dalvin Cook. They've got Justin Jefferson. That wouldn't be like the first team I would eliminate, but the Kirk Cousins, that just hangs over your team. And the thing is, though, if Green Bay really does lose Aaron Rodgers, that division's wide open. All right, so you have now eliminated New Orleans, Minnesota. I've eliminated Houston. Okay, so we've got Jaguars, Raiders, Giants, Dolphins left. My personality is I would love to just go coach the New York team and turn it around, but that was the worst team in the NFL, in my mind, this year by the second half. I know they didn't have the worst record. They were unwatchable. They were the team you'd watch. Oh, they're playing Washington this week. Okay, oh, Washington's up 3-0. So that game's over because the Giants can't score 4 points.
I see.
So I'm going to eliminate the Giants, Wolf.
Okay, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to eliminate the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. Don't care about Trevor Lawrence.
I honestly, right now, prove it. I'm taking a prove it approach for Trevor Lawrence. And I do know that, okay, maybe their cap situation isn't nearly as bad. Yet at the same time, I'm not a big believer that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy.
Wow.
I'm not. So
because of this year, or just you never have been?
Let me just say not this year alone, but because of the past as well. Some guys, I think, have it, and I wonder if he does. If you have a question at quarterback, that eliminates my interest in you.
Yes.
Based on the game we're playing right now. It's the reason why I'm going to take Las Vegas Raiders, and I'm going to put them number one.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because you look at all these teams, they all have questions at quarterback except the Raiders. They really do. So we were down to the Dolphins and Raiders, and you have apparently decided we're keeping the we're going to take
the
Vegas
job.
The time. Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
you're late, Lou.
sorry, I just got to rambling. Yeah, Miami and Vegas are the two best jobs. The argument for Vegas is, like you said, they have a quarterback. They have Derek Carr. The argument against Vegas is they are potentially in a division with Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is. But just a guess here, Basin Orleans, but when Sean Payton said, my plan is to not coach in 2022, I think he was thinking of the Las Vegas Raiders when he said that. That's why he qualified it. My plan is not to coach in 2022. But, man, you know what? If that job ever came open where Derek Carr was there and I got $23 million under the cap, I got cap room, oh, yeah, and I'm good already.
Yeah, they already made the playoffs.
Yeah. Like a glove.
And they don't play for a tie, and you're in a division with Brandon Staley, so that helps. All right. Coming up, the NBA All-Star starters are going to be announced tonight. Will the Suns have anybody on that list? We'll discuss it next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.